The 62nd Cannes Film Festival wrapped up on Sunday. Cannes is the most important festival showcase for new films from around the world. The festival's held in the south of France. Our critic-at-large John Powers, who is also film critic for Vogue, just got home from Cannes, and he's going to tell us about some of the award-winning films he saw there, films that we'll get the chance to see in the U.S. within the next few months. Hi, John. Tell us what made this year's Cannes Film Festival different from all the others you've been to.
Yes, well, Cannes differs from year to year in attitude and tone. You know, a few years ago during, you know, the beginning of the Iraq War, you could actually feel the hostility to Americans because Europeans in particular didn't like the war. What was striking this year was what I would call the existence of austerity Cannes. And you know, that may sound like a contradiction in terms because during the festival, Cannes actually is home to the greatest concentration of wealth in the world, you know, because all those people out in yachts are worth billions of dollars. But what was striking this year was, first of all, from an American point of view, how many fewer Americans were there. And that ranged from everything from movie stars, there were just far fewer big stars this year, to far fewer American journalists. You know, when I used to come, you were just packed with Americans fighting against one another for the stories. Whereas this year, you know, lots of papers didn't send critics. You know, lots of magazines that used to send teams are now sending one person. And although the festival was still crowded, it wasn't insanely crowded this year.
Are European newspapers going through the same kind of cutbacks that American newspapers are? Are European newspapers folding at the rate American newspapers are?
Well, European newspapers are suffering the way American newspapers are, but not to the same extent. And what you don't have in Europe in the same way is, you know, the steady drumbeat of papers actually going under. At the same time, I think film criticism is taken more seriously in Europe than it is in the U.S. Whereas here, I think at many papers, the film critic is now thought to be a luxury. And so all across the country, newspapers and magazines have just gotten rid of the film critics. Whereas in France, you know, that I think you'd probably get rid of almost anything before you'd get rid of the film critic for your paper.
So let's talk about some of the winners at the Cannes Film Festival. The film that won the festival's top prize is The White Ribbon. Tell us about the film. What'd you think of it?
Well, it's a film by the Austrian director Michael Haneke, who is sort of known in America. He made the movie The Piano Teacher and a film called Cachet, but is a huge directorial star in Europe. And he's an Austrian director who's a bit of a moralist. His films are a bit like castor oil because he's always trying to teach you a lesson. And I've liked some of his films and haven't liked some of the others. I like this one. It's set in a German village before World War I. And in this German village, some strange and unpleasant things are happening. Someone sets up a wire and trips a horse as it goes by. A little boy is beaten up. And the whole question is, why is this happening? Who's doing this? That's the thriller aspect of the story. Over the course of the next 2 hours and 20 minutes, what you gradually get is a picture of the culture of this seemingly idyllic village where you realize that all the authority figures, in particular the fathers, are imposing a particular idea of what a good child is like, and that this idea is finally going to be the roots of what gives you fascism, so that there is this sense that all children should be innocent and good, and the parents are particularly sadistic and brutal, both psychologically and physically, in enforcing this idea. So if a young boy is, if you fear that your son is going to be masturbating, you literally tie him to the bed. If your daughter's behaving badly, you make her wear a white ribbon all the time, which is where the film gets its title, reminding her that you're supposed to be innocent and pure. And so gradually what you get in this investigation of this village is a view of Germany just before World War I creating the generation that will ultimately lead to the creation of Nazi Germany.
Now, the head of the jury which selected this film was the actress Isabelle Huppert, who starred in one of Haneke's earlier films, The Piano Teacher. So did she have to recuse herself?
Oh, no, there's no such thing as recusing in film festivals. I think, you know, that Wall Street people would be thrilled to have the rules of insider trading that film festivals have. You know, so that going into the final weekend, because when people are discussing what's going to win, all the people that can become like Kremlinologists or Vatican followers trying to figure out what's really going on. And most people who knew what was going on thought that the Haneke film, The White Ribbon, would probably win.
Okay, second prize at Cannes Film Festival went to a French film called A Prophet. It's a prison movie. Tell us about this one.
Yes, the second prize winner, one of the Grand Prix, was called A Prophet by Jacques Audiard, and it was probably my favorite film in the festival. And it was all the more surprising to me because I kind of dreaded seeing it. The little blurb, but when you went in, said it's about a young French Arab man who's sent to prison. And I thought, that doesn't sound very good. I hate prison movies. But what happens in this one, which runs 2.5 hours, is that this young French Arab guy starts off a pure victim and over the course of the next 2.5 hours gradually learns the ropes of the prison, how to negotiate the power struggle between the local Corsican gangsters and the Islamists. And over the course of 2.5 hours, transforms himself into some sort of crime boss. So that he starts off this loser guy who's a teenager and winds up a bit maybe like Michael Corleone. In fact, the final images of the film have a real hint of The Godfather about them. And what's great about the film is not only that the lead actor is really terrific, his name is Tahir Rahim, he's a new discovery, but that you watch step by step how the prison works, how power is arranged, how you make your way in this world, and you watch the guy grow bit by bit from being this bit of a loser to being this extremely powerful guy. It's a really, really terrific film, incredibly gripping.
What was the most controversial film at Cannes?
The film that people fought to get in to see and then couldn't wait to boo in many cases was a film called Antichrist by the Danish director Lars von Trier. Now, people here will know him for Breaking the Waves and Dogville, among other films. And he's a provocateur. This film starts off, it looks like a family film in a way, or a domestic psychological drama. Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg play a couple whose child dies. And the Gainsbourg character goes into a great period of grief. And to help cure her grief, Dafoe takes her to their cottage in the woods in the American Northwest. So far, so good. But then what happens about halfway through is the film goes berserk. And Dafoe starts meeting foxes that actually talk to him. You get rains of – the house is pounded by falling acorns. And the Gainsbourg character – eventually gets crazier and crazier until you're entering the world where the suggestion is that Gainsbourg is herself, as an expression of femininity, the Antichrist.
Very nice.
Yes. Oh, very nice.
Woman is Antichrist.
The woman is Antichrist. You know, and it's the kind of film who plays on male paranoia. So she wants to make love all the time, and then when you refuse, she thinks you're going to leave her. So she actually drills a hole in your leg, and and puts a spike through it to keep you there. It's an incredibly entertaining, very crazy movie. Filled with jokes and violent imagery. And the Cannes audience, I think, was expecting something much more serious from von Trier, whose films are, you know, weighty in a spiritual or psychological way or making some important point. Whereas this one seemed like a joke in lots of ways. It was hugely booed at Cannes. One of those great Cannes experiences is having to literally fight your way into a screening because everybody's dying to see it. And then at the end of the film, listening to huge parts of the crowd boo the film.
So I'm not sure if you liked it or not. I can't tell.
Yes. I didn't like it, but I really enjoyed watching it because von Trier is one of those art film directors who never will ever bore you. It's such a strange and crazy movie filled with stuff I can't describe on the radio that you sit there rapt. And what's funny to me is that every year there's a film or two like this that's clearly designed to get attention and shake people up, to be deliberately provocative. And what's startling to me is how every year a huge number of critics fall for it and then become outraged and get all moralistic when it was clear that the whole point of the movie was to wind people up and to be a bit of a lark or a provocation. You know, it's not unimportant that this film was going to open in France, I think, next week in 130 theaters. So to have the entire world being outraged and talking about this movie at the Cannes Film Festival is a great piece of marketing. And in lots of ways, that's what this film is. There's no comparable American version of this, of some film that's just there to get you. You know, probably the closest thing, if you can imagine this, would be something like Snakes on a Plane, where the concept seems so vivid people want to see it. In this case, to have an art film called Antichrist, with a tremendous trailer that seems very exciting, and you think, oh, here's this art film director making a horror movie. You know, that's such a juicy package that people just couldn't wait to see it. And then, of course, having seen it, most of them were outraged.
My guest is our critic at large, John Powers. We'll talk more about the Cannes Film Festival after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is our critic at large, John Powers. He just returned from the Cannes Film Festival. When we left off, we were talking about controversial films at this year's festival. Now, I understand there's one film so controversial and so maybe distasteful. At the Cannes Film Festival, you didn't even go.
I didn't even go. It's a Filipino film called Kinite by a talented director named Briante Mendoza. And what it's about is basically a young guy gets, you know, who's sort of a young police cadet, gets told to go along with some friends on this job. And basically the job is basically grabbing a prostitute, beating her up, sexually assaulting her, and then dismembering her. And the entire film is just that. It runs about 110 minutes and features a 25-minute sequence shot almost in the dark of them driving the prostitute along in a van. You know, Roger Ebert, wrote at the time, it was the worst film ever in competition at Cannes. You know, even one of the jurors who gave it a prize, because it did get the Best Director prize, amazingly enough, said he never wanted to see it again. And the festival is divided between people who more or less saw it and hated it, and those who heard about it from the first screening and thought, I don't want to spend 110 minutes watching some prostitute being abused and then chopped to pieces. So I was one of those people. And, you know, I feel no regret at missing it. You know, there's an intellectual argument that I heard from some very smart friends to defend the film, and I just didn't believe it. I thought there was nothing that film could show me that I didn't already grasp. Are you trying to prove the point that it's wrong to grab people and chop them pieces? I already know most of the things the film would have, so why would I subject myself to that? It was no fun at all. It's just brutal nastiness. And it won one of the top prizes. You know, go figure.
Well, since it won one of the top prizes, did you regret it at all that you didn't see it? Did you feel any responsibility to see it so that you could inform your readers from a position of having witnessed the film as opposed to from the position of having refused to go?
I do and I don't. I probably now will have to go because it won this award. I saw things at this festival, Terry, you know, that you wouldn't otherwise see. There is in one of the films, a long, long film, there is a scene that is shot from the inside of a woman's womb, and you watch the penis come toward you during a lovemaking sequence. You know, I'm prepared to go with that. I watched people bite one another's throats. I watched people shoot people's heads off. I watched people being scalped. I mean, it's not as if I'm squeamish.
My God, this sounds like such an endurance test.
Yes, you know, this year was, I think, in some ways, the nastiest festival ever.
What is going
and
on?
I think it's probably just happenstance, I guess, is the first thing, that they're all there this year. I think the second thing is that the world film audience is slightly more jaded than it used to be and is after a bit more sensation. You know, in the U.S., you know, many of the most popular foreign films now don't come from Europe but are very violent films out of Japan and Asia. And some of that's carried over, I think, also to Europe. I think also violence has become a way of getting attention at a time when international art movies don't get the attention they used to. I think the other part of it that makes it striking is that this year, because Isabelle Huppert was heading the jury and she has a taste for extreme things, is that all the films that got honored were films that were in one way or another very intense, very violent, either psychologically or physically, often highly sexual. You know, this expresses her taste. And because her taste then defines what wins, that then carries over to everybody's sense of the entire festival.
I know there are some films that you really liked at the Cannes Film Festival that didn't win any prizes. Tell us about one of those, the films that you expect we'll get to see in the United States.
Yes. Well, one of the most acclaimed films of the festival, the film I liked, is a Jane Campion film called Bright Star, which is about the romantic relationship between the poet John Keats and a young woman named Fanny Braun, who is an early designer of clothes. And it's basically about their love affair, very, very muted love affair, during the last 2.5 years of Keats's life. It's a very beautiful, elegant movie, maybe a little staid, but it normally would win would have won something at Cannes, I think. But this was a year of extremity, and so all of its virtues, beauty, elegance, restraint, countered against it in a film festival where films were cutting people's heads off and winning awards. Another film very much like it was this Palestinian film that I loved called The Time That Remains by a guy by the name of Ilya Suleiman. And what it is it shows four or five different periods of Palestinian history from 1948 to the present day. But it doesn't do all the stuff that one fears that a Palestinian film would do, which is essentially talk about grievance and be angry. Instead, the Suleiman film shows the transformation of Palestinian life in his hometown of Nazareth through a series of comic and sentimental vignettes. And as you watch, you get a sense of, oh, this is what the actual life of Palestinian people is like, where politics is the backdrop to things that are going on, rather than everybody being some sort of mad bomber or angry person. Suleiman himself lives in Paris, and you can tell that he's agonized at being cut off from his past life, because somehow, if you're in Palestine, you have to care too much about all the politics. Yet he's a tender, funny, gentle filmmaker who's more concerned with, you know, how his father changed over the year. He's watching his mother get older, the way his friends hang out in a cafe and make jokes with one another. That's what he's interested in. And so you get that world, and then in the background, you just see how Palestinian life has gotten harder and harder over the last 60 years. It's a film that makes all the points you would want to make about what it's like to be a Palestinian Israeli, and yet at the same time, it does it so delicately, you don't feel you're being hectored. It's a really good film.
John Powers will be back tomorrow to tell us about more films from the Cannes Film Festival, including Quentin Tarantino's new World War II movie. John is Fresh Air's critic at large and film critic for Vogue.